They were wrong. Just like the color red in Schindler's List, water's going to show up again and again and again. It's a theme. It's a signal from God about our story. And it's not always going to be boundary lands, but it's often boundaries. Are you willing to cross the boundary? Are you willing to step into the water? Are you willing to join the story? Are you willing to be swept away? I had no intention of ever being a speaker. I would have taken a class. I would have read a book. I would have done, I'll hang around young ministers. And the Church of Christ has some of the most fantastic young ministers. And they'll talk about, did you read this book? Did you read that book? And I have to keep smiling going, no, I didn't. No. But I do work quite extensively in quantum physics. So in one of those alternate universes, I did. In fact, I wrote it. So, but I know God told me, are you willing to be swept away? And let me change your story. Get in the water. The psalmist said this about the water. But you, O God, in Psalm 74, are my king from of old. You bring salvation upon the earth. It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the water. It was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave him as food to the creatures of the desert. It was you that opened up the springs and streams. You dried up the ever-flowing rivers. It was you who set all the boundaries of the earth. And if you read this and you start thinking, oh, that's really cool, you're not reading it. You need to read it and go, what monster? What Leviathan? The Jews didn't write a great deal about Satan and demons until they'd been in Persia for a while and picked up some ideas there. But they had some ideas of false gods, some competitors, some people on the other team. I'll never forget, I took a group of 90-some people on a cruise. It was in their, the cruise line had offered us to, that they would give an awful lot of money to missions from our money, and it worked out great, long story. But they gave us a bar to worship in on Sunday. And I thought, well, that's great. You'll either get the Spirit here or right back there, you know, one of the two. I had told them for months ahead of time, we need unleavened bread and we need grape juice. Do you understand the concepts? And they got it. We got it. We're all there for you. On the day they brought out the unleavened bread, perfect, tasteless, not interesting at all, they did it well. We don't want it to be the Lord's Supper. We want it to be the Lord's terribly insufficient snack. And so that's what we got. And then they brought out a Costco-sized bottle of wine. And I stopped him. I said, oh, hang about. First of all, this is my cabin number. But the second thing you need to know is that where's the grape juice? They said, well, we thought we had it. We don't, but this will do. And I said, a lot of these people are from very conservative churches. This is going to be a real issue. And I, as God is my witness, they turned the bottle over and pointed to where it said kosher. And they said, but it's kosher. I said, we bat for the other team. By the way, I went ahead, I explained the situation, even the conservative people understood the concept, some of them to show, you know, no harm, no foul, they came for seconds, so it was fine. But the Jews knew they weren't alone, they knew there was somebody on the other team, and they were afraid of that other team, and they believed that other team lived and breathed in the water. Water was a symbol of the chaos. Some of you understand water is a symbol of chaos if you've read the Psalms, like Psalm 42. And he says, deep calls to deep and the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. For some of you, God has not swept you along in a story to a good place, but bashed you against the rocks. And water is a symbol of depression in Scripture, of being upended, of being run places you didn't intend to go. water everywhere you are in the story, whether you're being swept along the heights or into the darkness of depression, water shows up in the story. In Psalm 18, the psalmist thinks he's facing death, and then he says, the cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. He reached down from on high and he took a hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy. If you read all the Psalms and you get all this water stuff going, you begin to realize there are several stories going on in the river. You want to make sure you're in the right river. You want to make sure you're in his story. The other will drag you down to death. This one, you get to meet the Spirit of God. Isaiah, by the way, used this force and depression and demon imagery in Isaiah 5 and verse 30. And that day they will roar over it like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks at the land, he will see darkness and distress. Even the light will be darkened by clouds. Water's a powerful thing. It was only a few weeks after Katrina that I was asked to go down to the Gulf Coast and do a youth rally. It was for all the churches, not just our church. For any kids that were there, to encourage them. What do you say? What do you say when you get off the plane, you get the rental car, and every time you stop anywhere, people run up to you saying, are you with FEMA? Can you help us? Water. You don't mess with water. It's a dangerous thing. Unless it's our story, you got to pick the right river. You know, everybody dies. You might as well matter on the way. You might as well have a life that is part of a bigger story. What about this one? O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. And if you're going, who's Rahab? Well said. It's a demon. That's all we know. At least that's what they called her. And yet, God can take care of the demons, but you got to get in the water. I talked to a woman once who told me she didn't like her kids being near the water. And I said, why? She said, they could drown. Fair enough. And she says, I won't let them get near the water till they know how to swim. I'm sure there are YouTube videos that one could use and enjoy that process. We got to get in the water, but we don't have to be afraid of the water. You see, speaking of cruise, we had one person want to come with us, but he said, my wife won't go. So I asked her, I said, what's wrong? Don't you? And she goes, I can't sleep on a ship knowing that there may be sharks swimming underneath. I wanted to explain to her the concepts of physics and metallurgy and oceanography and how sharks have not yet developed the tools to enter the ship. The Bible tells us, don't be afraid. Quick story. I lived in West Virginia for 8 years. That's why I got the accent. And we lived on top of a mountain, and our rule was, anybody moves on this place, we convert them or drive them off. That's our choice. So some people were moving in. So I took my son, who's now a 6'5" Marine, but back then he's just a wee guy, and I took our primary dog with us. Well, we also had a backup dog in case the primary dog ever failed to function. So with a backup dog, big 100-pound lab mix, and so we're walking down. We get fairly close, and the door opens. And out fly three chihuahuas. Angry, snarling, attack chihuahuas. Now later, we would find out that they were all in their teens. One was named Killer, one was named Dynamite, and I can never remember the name of the third. Bob, whatever it was. We would learn later. One was blind, one was epileptic, and I guess Bob had issues, but whatever it was, they were coming at us. And first of all, my dog looked at me, and I said, don't laugh, you know. We don't need to be up here and have dogs with issues, and we'll be all right. We had some time, by the way, because there was a ditch with some high grass, and they were having trouble getting through it. But they knew. They knew once they got through, they were going to kill us and hide the bodies. My son looked at me, and he goes, why do they think they can hurt us? And I said, son, there's so much about this world I don't know, but I do know dogs. We're going to stop right where we are. And we stopped, and sure enough, within a few seconds, the door opens again, and out come two huge dogs. One's a Newfoundland Mastiff. The other was, a Clydesdale. I don't know. It was hauling a beer wagon. There were little dogs in orbit around it. And they just sat on the porch and looked at us. And I said, now you know why the wee dogs think they can kill us. When I wake up in the morning, I feel like a 13-year-old blind epileptic chihuahua. Some of you wake up in the morning and literally say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us read. I don't like you. I'm not a Christian when I wake up. It takes a while. God and I have to renegotiate the contract. And I enter the water, fair enough, shower in this case, but I'll enter the story again. But I know I've got backup because I'm in the story. And you read from Genesis through to the book of Concordance, which is the last book in my Bible. Some of you progressives have the book of maps, but anyway. We start with water in the creation story. We have water from rocks. We have crossing the Red Sea. We have crossing the Jordan. We have storm stories in the gospel. We have Jesus walking on water. There's a symbol for you. We have a miracle at a sacred pool where a spirit troubles the water, on and on. Maybe there's something we should learn there. Before you enter Israel, you've got to wade in the water. You've got to step in the water. You know, the first people out front were the people carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and that was considered an honor. You get to go first. Really? Interesting. This is back in the days when generals led combat rather than sitting around a table on the other side of the planet thinking, ooh, you know what would be a good idea? They went first. I ask myself sometimes, would I wade in the water? And there are days where I say, absolutely. And there are other days where I say, maybe. But only if I get help. I need help to do this. Can I confess something to you? Going to anyway. They can't fire me, Josh said. There are a lot of times when the church sings that I don't. And it's not because I don't want to sing. It's because I need to hear. I need your faith to carry me a little bit for a while. And sometimes I'll see you and you've got tears coming down your cheeks and your hands are in the air and I'm going, I needed that. I needed to see that part of the story. It helps me remember, don't just wrestle God by the riverbank. Get in. To quote the great philosopher Delbert, come on in, boys, the water's fine. Isn't it interesting that in the early church, they made you take off all your clothes as a symbol of dropping everything else? And they went through an exorcism before you went into the water to be baptized. They understood the power of water in this story. Sometimes I'm asked by people, they'll say, you know, you're free to go at any time you want. So why are you still in Churches of Christ? And I just smile and I say, some days I do feel like Miss Noah, another water story. I imagine that Miss Noah after a while got fed up. got tired of the rain, got tired of rocking in the boat, got tired of the sticky walls. Whose idea was to put pitch on the... Oh, yeah. Got tired of the animals, got tired of it all. And I can almost see her looking at her husband saying, "That's right, I'm out of here." Where are you going to go? One of the things I love about our church is that we have restored the place of baptism. It is a sacrament. We have been reminded by John Mark Hicks and Bobby Valentine and Greg Taylor. And I owe those men so much for reading their books and learning from them that I can even say the word sacrament, which is kind of fun because we don't normally get to say it. Now we do. Woohoo! And so I've told John many times, I've stolen that, but I give you credit for the steal. But I also don't give you the blame if I get it wrong. But I love the fact that it's a sacrament, and yet it's in our hands. We don't have to wait and go through this big thing to do it. We can actually say, come on in the water. And you can baptize your children, or I can baptize, or we can, oh, wow. I love that. Do you remember the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3? He started his story by going into the water. In Acts 2:38, which is tattooed on every Church of Christ body, somewhere in a secret location, it is the mark God will look for in the book of Revelation. We enter our Jordan, taking our sins with us there, leaving them in the water. When we come up, the Spirit does not hover over us. He lives in us, and we are swept along. We fear no false gods. We fear no demons. We do not fear death itself. Fear for us is no longer an option, for we have gone into the water, into the river, into a story that will sweep us along with all the others who have entered the water until it sweeps us home. I look forward to that day. God bless. Cheers.